puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, that music signals one of my favorite weekend morning show events. Not only mine, it's a pretty popular piece, Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Lori.
Now, last week when I was lying in bed listening to the radio, I heard you tell Terry that this week's story would be about a mysterious or at least an unusual island.
Mm-hmm.
Tell on.
Well, the reason why it's unusual is that it's not natural. It's an artificial island that was constructed 100 years ago.
And where is this?
Right in the mouth of the Nelson River.
Okay, my geography is extremely shaky. This is somewhere up north.
It is indeed. Of course, Hudson Bay is up at the north end of Manitoba, right. And there are two very large rivers. Well, there's other rivers too, but two very large ones that flow into Hudson Bay from Manitoba. One is the Churchill River, and of course, the town of Churchill is there. And the other, just a little to the south of it, is the Nelson River. And of course, that's the major river that we use for all of the hydropower we generate up in northern Manitoba, a lot of the big dams along the Nelson River.
And so tell me the story of the island.
Okay. Well, the idea was that at the time, this was long before sort of Churchill was developed as a facility today. We, of course, think of it as Canada's only northern deepwater port.
Mm-hmm.
But before that was developed, there was interest in having some kind of port in northern Manitoba. And there were two candidates where they could build this. One was at the mouth of the Churchill River. The other was at the mouth of the Nelson River. So the federal government looked at the both options. They weighed the various pros and cons of each of them. They estimated what the cost would be to build what they called the Hudson Bay Railway to each of these points. And they ended up coming up with numbers like $21 million. This was now, keeping in mind, this was down back in 1908. This is a long time ago, so that's an awful lot of money. $21 million to build a railway to the mouth of the Nelson River and $25 million to go to the mouth of the Churchill River. So because it was cheaper, I think they said, well, let's go to the Nelson. So they started making plans to build a railway.
So there's nothing else to choose between them? Like wasn't one better than the other?
Well, what little I know from those records, the records are a little sketchy. They looked at the various pros and cons, and it seemed that they were pretty much equal in terms of the advantages and disadvantages. Now, that would change, and that'll be a little later in the story. They came up with a very different conclusion a little later. But at the first, it was seemed to be on financial terms that Nelson had a bit of an advantage. It's closer, too. The idea was they were going to start from the Paw, and they were going to head northeast up towards the Hudson Bay. And because it was closer, I guess, to get to Nelson as opposed to Churchill, that's maybe the reason why it was cheaper to go there.
And then what happened?
Well, they started building the railway. They started building the port. They had to have a facility at the mouth where the ships would come. The idea, of course, today at Churchill, there's a fairly elaborate structure. There's a great big grain terminal building. There's a port facility. And they had to have that, of course, to allow the ships to come in and unload to load grain. So they started building that at the mouth of the Nelson River. Now, one of the problems of that is that the mouth of the Nelson River is actually quite shallow in places. They did some soundings and they found that in order to get out into deep enough water, in other words, so that the ship could come up and dock without running aground, they had to go about a half a mile offshore because there was just so much shallowness. So they figured, well, how are we going to get past this problem? The idea was to build an island out in the deep water that they could then put the elevator on. The big grain terminal building would sit on this artificial island, and then they'd run a bridge from the land out to the artificial
over the
island.
Shallow water.
Over the shallow water. That's right.
To where it was deep water.
That's
this
right.
Must have been a huge undertaking.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that impresses me so much about this site is that it's, I think, one of the biggest engineering achievements of the 20th century. And, you know, they spent apparently $6 million building just this port facility alone, which, again, is a phenomenal amount of money considering that's 100 years ago. And it was never used, not even once.
Well, and this is the early 20th century. Getting all that stuff up there and the people, there must have been a lot of workers.
Absolutely. Of course, they had to bring it in by boat. They had to bring it in during the time when the bay was open, which turned out to be a bit of a challenge as well. They had, in fact, a couple of boats that came too late in the fall. They couldn't go back. And some of them were actually damaged in the ice as the following, you know, during the winter. But they had, apparently at times, as many as 1,000 construction workers there. And they worked year round, like, in other words, summer and winter. And, you know, anybody who spent time in Churchill knows that it's not exactly a hospitable place in the winter times.
No. So they worked night and day, round the clock, year round. to what end?
Well, they built, the artificial island. They brought in a dredge. They had one manufactured in Toronto, and then they brought it around, I guess, into Hudson Bay. It was apparently the most powerful dredge ever built. Up to that point, a big, massive dredge. They were going to use that to dredge up the material to build the island. They called the dredge, by the way, the Port Nelson. That was the name of the dredge. And they built up the soil. They built this artificial island. They built it kind of with a sort of a point on the north end of it. And the thinking was that the point would kind of diffuse the erosive power of the water so that any of the currents coming down Hudson Bay would not
wash away the island.
Right. And then to build the actual bridge out to it, the bridge is, say, a half a mile long. That's a pretty substantial bridge. It has 17 spans. Each of them, they're steel. It's what's called a steel truss. And these trusses were built in Montreal by the Dominion Bridge. Dominion Bridge, of course, yes. Had a connection here in Winnipeg.
Yes.
And transported the pieces. They were all prefab, but they didn't have them all put together. They had them all prefab, carefully laid out on barges. They brought them up to the site. And apparently they got there so late that they couldn't orderly unload them. They just tossed them off as fast as they could and got out of there quickly. And the engineers were all dismayed because all this nicely organized materials, all this
messed up.
But then they started assembling it. They actually started the first span at that fall. And they built over the course of the next winter and then into the following year this 17-span bridge. It's just a remarkable engineering undertaking.
But then?
Well, inevitably, they have to keep in time the time here. They started the work. They initially did the estimates in 1908. The work itself began in 1913. That's when they began amassing all the equipment and stuff that they would need. They began the construction in 1914. That's when all the construction workers were there. As they proceeded, they began realizing they were starting to run out of stuff. And in fact, by 1917, they really had run out of pretty much everything they needed. They had run out of coal because they needed coal both to run the machines and keep the buildings heated. They had a whole network of buildings for all those people they had on the site. They had run out of steel. They ran out of money. And maybe most importantly, they'd run out of manpower.
Because of the war?
Absolutely. Of course, keep in mind, this is during the First World War, and particularly by 1917, they hadn't yet instituted conscription of any kind, and they were starting to run out of troops to send overseas. So the notion of building a port up in northern Canada didn't seem like a good use of manpower. And so that was pretty much when things ground to a halt, was in 1917. Well, of course, inevitably the war finished within the next year, and I guess people started thinking, well, are they going to resume? Well, I guess the government changed. There was a bit of change in government. There was a bit of uncertainty what was going to happen. It didn't happen until 1926 that they began picking up the story again. And by that time, I guess they kind of figured, well, maybe we should get another look at this whole thing. So they brought in an expert from Britain to look at the two options again, the one at Churchill and the one at Port Nelson. And he said, "You're crazy. Why did you think that Port Nelson was the better solution? Churchill is clearly the better port. It was deeper, for one thing. And the mariners, the people who had been shipping around the lake, around the Hudson Bay, knew this. In fact, they'd been lobbying all along that it should have been in Churchill. And this guy said, absolutely, that's where it has to be. So basically then everything stopped at Port Nelson. Basically, they scavenged what they could scavenge, and they started resuming work at Churchill. So they had the port there start. They had most of it done in 1929. They had a very small sort of an initial grain shipment in 29, but it wasn't until 1931 that the big terminal building, the big concrete silos that we see today, they were built and ready to operate. So the first major shipments out of Churchill began in 1931. But, you know, what really tells the story of this whole thing is that if you zoom in on something like Google Earth, so you can kind of see a view of northern Manitoba, and you follow the line of the railway, the one that's there today, and it kind of follows along the Nelson River up a little past Gillam. And then when it gets a little past Gillam, it then goes straight north. Well, not quite straight, but straightish up north to Churchill. And it, if you look at it, you can see, well, you know, if it just carried right on, and then you zoom in a little bit, actually you can see the actual right-of-way that they cleared. They actually had prepared a line right to the port. So if you follow that line all the way to the shore of Lake of the Hudson Bay, you'll find the remains of that old the bridge is still there. That 17-span bridge is still there. The artificial island. Now, at one time, they had envisioned it was going to be a half a mile long, this artificial island. Just keep in mind, they were going to build a big terminal building on top of this artificial island. Today, it's not quite a half mile long, but it's still remarkable. It's about eight acres in size. But what I think is the most cool is that the old dredge, the Port Nelson, the most powerful dredge in the world, is still there.
It's still there?
It's still there. And it's sort of hanging over the edge of the artificial island. Apparently, it's sort of snapped in half a little bit. It's, so it's not in great shape. But it's just remarkable to think that this remnant of this big, big construction project from over 100 years ago, you know, that was built, all this money was spent, all these people were there, you know, and it's just sitting abandoned.
Abandoned. Mm. Abandoned Manitoba. Another cautionary tale, because it sounds like there must be a moral to this story. I don't know what it is, but it'd be fabulous to go up and see it.
I would love to get up there myself. I've had a number of friends and colleagues that have managed to get up there, and I'm just desperate to get there. So if anybody knows a way, I'm
Gordon
game.
Wants to go.
I'm game.
So what about next week? What have you got lined up?
Well, next week's site involves a combination of billiards, gambling, and booze.
Oh, is this another cautionary tale in the making?
It might well be.
Wonderful to talk to you, Gordon. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.